Welcome to the Lighthouse Community Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's teaching will encourage you in your faith and help you develop an increasing desire to walk with God. Let's listen in.
All right. I want to do just a really quick survey, and here's the question. Raise your hand if you believe you pray too much. You pray too much, right? Raise your hand. No? Okay. Okay. Raise your hand if you pray too often, right? You find yourself throughout the day, you're just praying too often throughout the day. It's okay. All right. And online, you can answer these questions too in the chat, just so you know. All right. What about this? You pray too long, right? You just realize hours have gone by and you're like, I prayed too long. I can't believe how long this went. No? Nobody. Okay, nobody did that. I don't think I have ever said the words, I pray too much, I pray too often, I pray too long. Well, I did, that has happened, the pray too long. I remember I was on staff at a church like decades ago, and we had an intern, and we went out to lunch as a staff, and they asked the intern to pray. And I think he had not spent any time doing devotions that morning. And so he decided that when the food showed up, that's when he was going to do his devotions. And he just started praying like for everything and everything. And he's going on and thanking God for the world and missionaries who are going out and going through all this stuff. And finally, our senior pastor just goes, amen. Izzy, don't do your devotions before lunch, right? I've never heard anybody else close a prayer for someone else before, but so that's probably the only time I would say somebody prayed too long. The reality is very few of us, if any of us, pray too much. Very few of us pray too often. Very few of us pray too long, or that we don't need to grow in prayer. I know for me, that when I first came to faith in Jesus Christ, I struggled a lot with prayer, mainly from an ignorant standpoint. I didn't know anything about it. And quite frankly, nobody had really discipled me on how to pray, what that looks like biblically. What does that mean? How do you do that? And so when I first started praying, I prayed when I had a problem. And so I would just like, okay, God, I got myself into this problem. Will you get me out, right? That was essentially my prayer life. Then from there, it grew to I prayed for the things I wanted, right? I don't have this, so God, if you would give me this and bring this into my life. From there, I started paying attention to how other people prayed, and I would use the way that they prayed to shape how it's been time praying in my own life. I graduated from that to now reading, was reading scripture and letting the scriptures guide the way that I prayed and informed how I prayed in my own life. And today that's still the case, and especially praying when it comes to the character of God. Just thinking about who he is, right? He's loving, he's good, he's just. He has great distaste, anger even for sin. And so really letting the character of God and who he is shape the way that I pray for myself and that I pray for others as well. And it really has become a conversation between the Lord and I. When I think about where I started 26 years ago to where it is today, that those steps of growth and progression have been absolutely remarkable. And at the same time, I have room to grow. I have a lot of room to grow when it comes to praying and growing as a person of prayer. And I am more convinced than ever by Scripture that if we pray, if we really, truly pray as followers of Jesus Christ, as a church, that we're going to experience spiritual transformation in a remarkable way. We are going to experience growth. And I don't even necessarily, I'm not even talking about numerical, but growth in our own lives to a whole new depth and a whole new scale in our own lives, in our church, and in our community. I'm just absolutely convinced of that from Scripture, that the pathway forward heavily has to do with prayer. And that's what we're talking about today. So if you brought a Bible with you, I'm going to ask you to open up to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to be in Colossians chapter 1. And while you're going there and you're finding that in your Bible, I do want to welcome you. My name is Fritz. I'm one of the pastors here. Really glad that you have joined us. And I do want to just take a moment and give a shout out to all of our guests who are in the house with us today. And I want to welcome everybody who's joining us at Lighthouse Online. And I'm wondering, family, could we just welcome our guests and everybody at Lighthouse Online this morning and let them know how grateful we are that you're with us. And I do want to give one more shout out to a group of people. They are typically overlooked most Sunday mornings, but we have a whole team of people who make sure that Lighthouse Online happens every single weekend. And so we have different people serving throughout the month, and we're grateful for them. But I do want to call out a couple people. I want to say thank you to Jordan, to Troy, to Luke, and Andrew, and Brian, who they're from the technical side. They're making all of that go forward. And then I want to give a shout out to Deborah, Diane, and Lance, who are our hosts this morning. And so they can hear us right now. So I'm wondering, Lighthouse family, can we just say thank you to our ministry teams who are just crushing it? We're so grateful for you. And by the way, if you're online, just, man, show some love to that team right now. Let them know you're so grateful for them and what they're doing. Kind of fun little, cool little fun fact. Actually, Troy, who is our camera operator this morning, really neat thing, came to faith a couple of months ago through Lighthouse Online. And now he's the one that God is using to get that message out to other people. So absolutely amazing what God is doing in and among us. But we're in this series on prayer. We're wrapping it up. Man, what does it look like to pray to the God who hears? And so 2 weeks ago, Larry led us through a thoughtful conversation on the prayer of confession. Last week, Pastor Ben walked us through the Lord's Prayer. And today, we're talking about the prayer for spiritual maturity. And that's the plan. So before we go any further, it does seem right to pray. So let's do that. God, we're asking that you would teach us how to pray. Not so that we get more things, not so that we perform better, not so that we experience more miracles or life gets easier or smoother, but rather teach us how to pray in such a way that our hearts are drawn to the presence of God and we just love it. And our desire is to be with you more than anything else, and that the rest of our lives are sourced by this, just being in your presence, being filled by you, by your Spirit, being overwhelmed with your love, knowing that you are a God who has just, you've taken our problem and you've solved it. And we get to walk with you for all of eternity. And so we're just asking, grow us, mature us, teach us what it looks like to pray and to walk in this life as Jesus did. And we ask these things through the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so Colossians. Let me give you just real quick backstory on this. Paul is wrote a letter to the believers in Colossae. Interesting point about this church. Paul didn't start this church. In fact, as far as we know, Paul never went to Colossae. In fact, this was a church that was started by a guy by the name of Epaphras, who likely came to faith in Ephesus, and this is his hometown. God used him to bring the gospel there, and then you have this church. And so Paul is writing a letter, a very thoughtful, very warm, kind letter, to a group of believers he's never met. And so think about that as we're reading through some of this scripture this morning. So we're going to read verses 9 through 14. We're actually going to be in the NLT this morning, because quite frankly, on this passage, the NLT just nailed it. Nailed it better than any of the other translations, in my opinion. So we're going to use this in our study time today. So starting in verse 9, Paul wrote this. "So we've not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding." Verse 10. There we go. All right. "Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins." Now, what Paul is doing here is he's praying. He's pulling back the curtain on how he was praying for these believers in Colossae. And what I want to pull out, there's a lot here, but what I want to pull out this morning is the three things, the three prayers that Paul prayed. And we're going to unpack those, and then what does that mean for you and me? So the first prayer that Paul prayed in this passage is that they would know God's will, right? That was the opening of his prayer, that you would have complete understanding of God's will. You would be filled with spiritual wisdom. You would have spiritual understanding in your life. God's will. What is God's will for my life? That's like the question nearly every person asks, whether they're a believer or even not a believer, right? People who are spiritually sensitive, who have just maybe a general idea or thinking about God, they're asking the question, what is God's will for my life? What does he want me to do? Where does he want me to go? Who does he want me to marry? Where does he want me to work? Where should I be living, right? People are constantly thinking about God's will, and they want to know what it is, and so they dial into it. What Paul writes is this. He says, I pray that you would have a complete knowledge of God's will. Now, in that passage, when Paul is talking about God's will, he's not talking about where you live, who you marry, if you marry, whether or not you'll have kids, what job you're going to work. Do I wear the blue shirt or the black shirt today? Right? Well, God, what do you want me to do? What's your will for my life? That's not what he's talking about in this passage. What he's talking about is he's talking about God's will for you as a creature created in the image of God. He is praying that the Colossians would understand the purpose of human life. That's what he's praying for. That they would understand who they were made by, who they were made for, and what's behind all of that. And as I was thinking about that, there's a lot of verses, a lot of passages in the scripture that will point to God's will for us as human beings. And if there's one that just kind of bubbled up for me as I was thinking and praying and meditating on this, it was John chapter 20, verse 31. This is the end of John's gospel. And in fact, let's read this passage out loud together, starting with, but these are written. Are you ready? Go. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That's God's will for you. God's will for your life is to know that Jesus is God, that he is the Messiah, and he's the only way to have a relationship with God, and to have the full human expression in this life. In fact, I would say it this way, that God's will is for you to be united to him through faith in Christ and transformed by the Holy Spirit. This is what it means to be a human being. To be a human means to be united to God, to rely on him, to depend on him, to trust him, to know him, to love him throughout everything. And that only comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And when you say yes to Jesus by faith, the Holy Spirit takes up residency in you and he begins to change your life from who you are right now into who he has designed you to be. This is God's will for your life. This is God's will for my life. And that's what Paul is praying for, is that you and I would have a complete understanding of what God's will is. Now, what's very interesting is he says, I'm praying that you would have a complete understanding of God's will, right? You'd have spiritual wisdom, spiritual understanding. And then look at verse 10, because verse 10 gives the outflow of what happens once you have a complete understanding of God's will. Look, it says, then, right? So you have to get to verse 9 before you get to verse 10. Verse 10 says, then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. We see, what we want as followers of Jesus Christ is we want to live in verse 10, which is fine, but you have to get through verse 9 before you get here. You have to understand, what is God's will for my life? And then the outflow is this. And God's will is for you to know him, for you to love him, and for you to rely on him for absolutely everything. That's God's will for your life. And the more you let that sink deep down into who you are and shape every part of you, that's when verse 10 becomes more and more apparent in your life. So the first prayer that Paul prayed was to know God's will. Here's the second prayer that he prays in this passage. It's to be strengthened with God's power. This is a second prayer, to be strengthened with God's power. Why? Why does Paul pray for the Colossians to be strengthened by God's power? Well, there's a so that in that verse, right? And the so that is this, so that you'll have endurance and you'll have patience that you're going to need, right? That's right there. He prays that you'll be strengthened with God's power so that you'll have endurance and patience that you'll need. Why do you and I need patience and endurance? Because following Jesus is difficult. I'm sorry if nobody told you that before, right? And I'm bursting the bubble. But following Jesus is difficult. Following Jesus is challenging, right? See, walking with Jesus is actually an upstream life. It's not getting in the river and letting it take you down wherever you feel like going. In fact, it is pushing against the cultural norms, pushing against the world's values, right? And so following Jesus is an upstream life, walking with him. And so you're going to face hardships. You're going to face adversity. You're going to face trials and challenges. And so Paul says you're going to need endurance and you're going to need patience. And I came to realize this, you know, you need endurance for difficult situations. You need endurance to outlast challenging seasons of life, right? The situation of maybe illness shows up in your life that you weren't ready for, right? It's challenging to fight temptation and sin in your life. And Paul's praying for endurance to outlast that. Paul's praying for endurance to go through, for some, it's just getting up and going to work every day, right? That's the endurance that you need. Or you had some situation come find you, you weren't ready for at all. And Paul is praying that you and I would have endurance for difficult situations. You need endurance for difficult situations. You know what you need patience for? Difficult people. Right? So endurance is for difficult situations. Patience is for difficult people, right? Right? You need patience for some of your coworkers who you work with, right? Some of you, the name and the face came right in. You're like, oh, tomorrow's Monday. Thank you for reminding me. Yeah, I now have to go have patience with them. Some of you need to have patience with your kids, right? And you're praying for that. Some of us, you have to have patience with a difficult person known as your spouse, right? Whatever it may be. Some of you, actually, what Paul's praying for, the patience you need for the difficult person, you know who the difficult person is in your life? You. You need patience to outlast you. And patience to let the Holy Spirit transform you. Patience to let the Holy Spirit set you free from sin. Patience to let the Holy Spirit change and reshape your desires. All right? And so Paul says, I'm praying that you'd be strengthened with God's power, so that you would have all the endurance and all the patience you would need, because following Jesus can be difficult. And the third thing that Paul prayed for was this, to be filled with joy. Because yes, following Jesus is difficult, but it's also joyful. There's nothing like it. He says, I'm praying that you would be filled with joy and with thanksgiving. That's what he says. And I want you to notice here, look at the source of joy that Paul talks about. Because he says, I'm not hoping you find joy and thanksgiving in your situation. I'm not hoping you find joy because your life gets smooth or better, or you don't face any problems, or everything goes your way, and you don't have any challenges. Look at what he says that the source of a Christ follower's joy is. Look at verses 12 through 14. He says that you may be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. And then he talks about what that source of joy is. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. What Paul is writing is that the source of our joy, the source of our thanksgiving as followers of Jesus Christ, is that you belong to Christ. Your source of joy is that you have a new identity in Christ. Your source of joy is that you are now the Father's son or the Father's daughter. You are a co-heir with Christ. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. You have been rescued by God. You have been purchased by God. And you have been forgiven by him. And he says that is the bedrock of your joy. And what's amazing is when that becomes the center of who you are, joy and thanksgiving will override the situation that you're in. Even if it's a difficult situation or you're dealing with difficult people. This is why Paul prays that you would be filled with joy. This is why Paul prays that you'd be strengthened. This is why Paul prays that you would have a complete understanding of God's will. What Paul is describing here is he's describing what spiritual maturity looks like. That spiritually mature people have an understanding of what God's will is. Spiritually mature people recognize they need the power of God to walk through life daily, and they ask God for it consistently. And spiritually mature people live with joy and thanksgiving, not because things go their way all the time, but because in the one moment where they knew it mattered the most, everything went their way. That now they belong to Jesus by grace through faith. That, and so what Paul's really praying for is he's praying for spiritual maturity in the lives of the Colossians. He's praying that for you and for me as well, and we can do that too. And I would say that's the landing place for you and for me. Taking from what we're learning from Paul and from the scriptures and what God had him include to this is that you and I would pray for spiritual growth in others and even in ourselves. That we would pray for spiritual growth in the lives of others, and also for ourselves, right? Ask God to grow us. Ask God to mature us. Now, it sounds simple, but there's barriers that get in the way. And so I want to share with you really quickly three barriers, and then the ways to overcome those barriers to praying for spiritual maturity in the lives of others and in your own life as well. So here's the first barrier that tends to come up quite often. It's this: I don't know how to pray. I have no idea how to pray. Have you ever felt this? Has this been a place, maybe you're there right now. I hear you're talking about prayer. We've been in this prayer series for the last 3 weeks. And quite frankly, I just don't know how to pray. That was my story when I first came to faith. I didn't know how to pray. I wasn't raised in the church. I don't know any of that kind of stuff. I don't know how to pray. So how do you overcome that? Learn. Learn how to pray. You overcome that by learning how to pray. How do we know that? We know that we can learn how to pray because when we look at Luke chapter 11, verse 1, look what's going on here. It says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. So he's praying, and it says, when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, let's read this next phrase out loud together. Are you ready? Go. Lord, teach us to pray. If you don't know how to pray, you're not alone. Every one of us has been in a situation like that, and some of us are in that place right now. Even the disciples were in that place. Lord, would you teach us how to pray? Now, there's kind of an art to learning, right? Think about this, because you don't just become a Christian, all of a sudden it's like, bing, you're downloaded with the ability to pray, right? Like, that's not how that works. There's a little bit of an art to learning. And I was thinking about this, and so my dad was an electrician by trade, and so he did a lot of just contracting work on his own. He would do jobs, and most of them he handled by himself, but sometimes he would get a job that was too big, and then, like, this is where I get my cheapness from. My dad was too cheap to hire labor, and so thankfully he had a son. who, like, when you're 10, you're like, you just want to hang out with your dad. You don't know anything about money. And so he's like, hey, you want to come have a fun day at work? I was like, yeah, you know it. So I'd go to work with my dad. And so when I would work with him, he would wire an outlet, right? And he would have me watch him wire an outlet. And then the next one, I would do it, but he's coaching me through every single step of the way, right? And then he would let me wire one by myself. He'd come back and check it. And he'd go, no, this, what you've done is going to burn this house down. Let's redo this, right? And then it got to the place where I knew what I was doing. He could trust me, and he knew that, you know, my work was fine and it was good. But that's kind of how learning works, right? Somebody shows you how to do it. You take a shot at it. You kind of talk about it. And then you get to the place where you're growing more and more in this new thing that you're learning, right? And so I want you to think about in your own life, what's something new that you've learned maybe in the last few months or years, just recently, right? Maybe a new hobby, maybe a new recipe, just maybe something new that you've learned lately, something at your job. And think about the progression of that, right? When you started, you knew nothing, completely ignorant. Maybe you were excited, maybe you weren't. And then you have this progression of knowing a little bit more and things becoming more natural. And prayer is the same, right? That's what was happening here. The disciples were watching Jesus pray. Then they watched him enough to ask him, would you teach us how to pray? He does. Luke 11, that's what that whole thing's about. And then when you fast forward into the book of Acts and the epistles, you see them praying like Jesus prayed, right? And right, the Spirit's living in them, and it's something remarkable. And so when you're thinking about how do I learn how to pray, a couple ideas I would throw out. Go back and watch or listen to the last couple of teachings that we did, this whole series, right? That's what this is designed for, right? The prayer of confession, leveraging the Lord's Prayer to shape your life. In fact, if you pull your blue connection card out, there's a next step on the back there that says, please send me the prayers of Jesus guide. So we have a resource we put together taking the prayers of Jesus from the Gospels, putting them together, and we'll send them to you. And so you can spend time reading, meditating, thinking on the prayers that Jesus prayed, and let those shape and inform how you pray, all right? And just when it comes down to it, you just have to start praying, right? And you let the Holy Spirit teach you and guide you, and right? That, like, that's, you just do it, right? There's a point where you can only learn so much intellectually, and then you have to cross over. But if you don't know how to pray, the way you break through that is you learn how to pray. That's the first common barrier. Here's the second common barrier to prayer. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time. How do you overcome that barrier? You make time to pray, right? You simply make time to pray, okay? So can we be straight? If I don't have time to pray, it is not an issue of time. It is an issue of value. If I don't have time in my day for prayer, it is actually not because I don't have time, but rather because I value other things greater than prayer. I think this action, this step, that thing will move things forward more in my life than prayer will. Right? And I don't say that to guilt anybody. I'm not trying to, you know, like weigh anybody. I just want to put that out there. Years ago, I read an article, and the person who wrote it said, the dawn of social media makes it clear that it's not for lack of time that Christians don't pray. Right? And so again, I just want to pull back the curtain on that. And I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to me. I'm talking to me as much, if not more, than anyone else in this room. And I get that you're busy. Everyone is busy. No one's not busy. In fact, I've thought about that. Some of you guys won't remember this all because you never experienced it, but some of you, you're like in my generation and older. Do you remember there was a time in your life when you would get bored? Do you remember this? Do you remember being bored? And you like walk around the house and your parents are like, what's the problem? I'm bored. There's nothing to do, right? And it was true back in those days. There was nothing to do, right? Read by candlelight. That was about it, right? But that's not true anymore. In fact, we have the other problem. We have so much stuff on. The problem is I'm overloaded. I'm not bored. I got these 14 different things and this team and that activity and this whatever and blah, 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 right? It's not that we're bored, it's that we're too busy, but we're all busy. Look at Luke chapter 5, verses 15 through 16. This is about Jesus. But the news about him, Jesus, was spreading further, and large crowds kept gathering to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. So I want you to see this. Jesus just started his ministry. People are hearing about him. More and more people, right? The busyness is coming. It's increasing. And look at verse 16. But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray in seclusion. Jesus is the busiest guy that's ever been carrying the greatest mission of any human being. And he still intentionally chose to withdraw and pray in seclusion. Right? If anybody could say, I don't have time, it's Jesus. And yet he chose to. So how do I increase the value to increase time? Here's what I would say. Two things. Number one, ask God to change your priorities. I think that's the starting place. God, change my priorities. Help me reorder my life. That time with you would be of greater value than these other things. Here's the second thing I would encourage. Start thinking like a person who prays. Just simply take time to, what do I think a person who prays would do or think about or value? And if you don't even have to spend a ton of time doing that, but you might come up with things, well, they probably have like a time and a space that they protect to pray with consistency and regularity. A person who prays probably asks others how they can pray for them very regularly and then just prays for them in real time. A person who prays probably takes their time in the Bible and what they're discovering about God and they turn that into prayer. Probably a person who prays has some kind of a list that they have in front of them, and they'll even check and you'll go, hey, I've been praying for you about this thing. How has God answered in that, right? So just take some time thinking about how a person who prays thinks or lives and let that begin to shape you as well. All right, last barrier. This is the one here as well. I don't know who to pray for, right? There's like 8 billion people in the world. Who am I supposed to pray for? Here's what I would say. Choose one. Just choose one. Choose one person right now. Why? Why would I say choose one? We have a saying around here. Do for one what you wish you could do for everyone, right? Just pray for one person. Pick one person and pray for them that God would grow them spiritually and he would mature them. And so my question is, who is that one person? Who is that friend? Who is the coworker? Who is this person in your small group? Who is this person who you're close with that you could just begin to commit to pray for on the regular, that God would grow them and mature? And here's the question. If God would enable you to pray for one, do you think then the Spirit of God would also grow you to pray for two? And then maybe the Spirit of God would lead you to pray for three. You see where I'm going with this? So sometimes you're like, I have 1,427.3 friends on Facebook and I need to pray for them all. I can't do that. Pray for one. Just pray for one and let God grow you and change your heart in regards to that. By the way, that's a next step on your connection card as well, just choosing it. Man, I'm just going to choose one person to pray for spiritual maturity in their lives, and you can do that. I think this is what it looks like to let prayer grow us spiritually, right? And we pray, and we ask God, and we invite him to move in our lives, and we pray that we would have a complete understanding, we pray that we would be strengthened, we pray that we'd be filled with joy, all of those things. So Lighthouse Community, if you've been around for the last year or longer, quite frankly from the beginning, Lighthouse Community is growing and growing quite rapidly, to be very transparent. And that's a good thing, right? That's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing that God is doing. So I had some time to think over the last couple weeks, and while I was thinking and while I was praying, I feel like the Spirit kind of put this question into my heart and into my mind. And the question that came in was this, as I was thinking about the way that our church is growing and the direction that we seem to be going. And the question was this, am I spiritually ready for this next level that it seems like our church family is going? Am I spiritually ready to go with our church family to this next place, to this next level? Am I spiritually mature to lead our church family as one of the pastors and one of the elders to this next place that it seems where God is leading us to go? This is a question that has been on my heart and on my mind over the last few weeks. And just to be very transparent with you, the answer is I don't know. I hope so. I think so. I'm praying for that. But the reality is, I don't know what it takes to lead a church at that level because I've not been there. I've not been in this seat, in this position before. And so I don't know what it takes. And so this has been my prayer for these last few weeks again and again. This has been my prayer for myself. This has been my prayer for our staff and for our leaders, is that God would grow us and he would mature us. This has been my prayer for you, for our church family, that God would mature us and grow us to get us ready for this next season. Because if not, I think it's very tempting to simply be either wowed by the numbers and go, wow, look at what God is doing, and these many people are baptized, and these many people are saved, and these many people are in small groups, and these many people are serving in ministry, to be wowed by that and let that drive it. It's also very easy to go like, man, we got to figure out how to manage it. We have to figure out how to, like, you know, make sure all the supporting pieces are in place so that we can continue, you know, growing and reaching people for Christ, right? And get focused on that. Or it's very tempting to just get upset. Well, this changed. And, well, you know, I remember moving back at 224 in year three, we used to do that. We don't do that anymore. And I'm upset. You know, it's really tempting to either be wowed, get focused on the mechanics, or just get upset as we're experiencing everything that we're experiencing. And what the Spirit has reminded me is that the true work of ministry is helping each other know who Jesus is and helping each other grow in who Jesus Christ is, no matter what the numbers are. Whether it's one person, whether it's hundreds of persons, whether it's more. And so we pray. We pray. And so as your pastor, here's what I'm asking from you. I don't do this very often, but I'm asking for you to pray for me. Pray for me that I would have a complete understanding of God's will and not veer to the left or the right on other things that may grab attention. Pray for me to be strengthened with God's power, to have all the endurance and patience that I'm going to need, to have the endurance for difficult situations, to have the patience for difficult people. You know who you are. Pray for me, right? That I would be filled with joy and thanksgiving, not because things are going great, because there's going to be a day when things don't go great. And my joy can't be founded in that. My joy has to be founded in the fact that I am a son of the Father, I'm a co-heir with Christ, and I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. That has to be the source of my joy. I'm asking you to pray that for me as your pastor. That's what I'm praying for you. This is what Paul is talking about in Colossians 1, that we would pray and we would actually, God would use our prayers to grow us spiritually, to mature us together as a family. That's the invitation. And I want to say one last thing to a last group of people. Some of you are in here and you're seeking, you're trying to figure out this whole God thing. Who is Jesus? What's true? What's not true? Is Scripture reliable? All of that. This whole idea of praying, you need to know probably one of the reasons you're here today or you're joining online is because somebody was praying for you. They're praying that God would lead you to a place that would share Scripture with clarity, point you to the hope of Jesus Christ. And you get to this kind of a place, you have to know this, your first step is actually what is our source of joy and thanksgiving, salvation in Jesus Christ alone. That you would be forgiven, you would be made new by grace through faith, meaning that you didn't earn it. You didn't get smart enough. You didn't show up to church enough times. You didn't show up to the right church. You didn't write. It's actually not about what you did. It's actually about what Christ has done for you, that his death paid all of your debt, and you're forgiven, and you're rescued, and you're reconciled, and you're now united with God through faith in Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit transformed you from who you are into who he has designed you to be. That is your first step, and I would invite you to that before anything else. I want to invite you to bow your heads and to close your eyes. We end each teaching the same way. And it's just where we take a few moments to reflect and ask this question. Jesus, what are you saying to me through this message? And I want to give you a few moments to hear what he may be saying to you. God, we do pray that you would help us to understand your will for life. We do pray for your strength that comes through your glorious power. And we do pray that you would fill us with joy because we belong to you. And through all of that, you would mature us and you would bring us into the likeness of Jesus Christ and transform our lives. We know that's a work that only you can do. And yet, it seems clear that the Scriptures invite us to ask you for that work. to spend time drawing close to you in prayer and letting you reshape us and transform us in that place. Lead us there, we ask. Well, Lighthouse community, we want to pray for you. So let me share with you what's about to happen. Is the band, some members of the band are going to come up and they're going to lead us in just one last song. And during that song, we're going to have prayer leaders who will be available in essentially the four corners of the room. We'll have one by each TV, one's back by the sound booth as well. And most of them will probably be wearing a lanyard, a gray lanyard like this, until you know. So I'm going to ask those prayer leaders if they'll make their way to those locations now so people know that you're ready to receive them. And you can pray about any area of your life at all. And I say this each week, but I do it on purpose. You don't have to be a member of Lighthouse Community to receive prayer. You don't ever have to feel embarrassed or ashamed to want to receive prayer, because we all need prayer, right? I need prayer. I just made that clear to hundreds of my closest friends and family. And so what you'll do is you'll step out of your seat during this last song. You'll head to one of the corners and just say, "Hey, my name's Fritz. Would you pray for me about..." and then share your prayer request. Really simple, really basic. So no judgment, nothing along those lines. By the way, if you're online, there should be a button right there that says, I'd like to receive prayer. And we have hosts, maybe Diane, Deborah, or Lance will engage with you in prayer right now in real time. So you can use that too. So I'm asking you, if you're here in the house, let's stand together as we transition into singing and prayer. And then we'll go from there. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would draw every single person who needs prayer right now, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Lighthouse Community, check out our website at mylighthousecommunity.com or connect with us on Facebook. You're invited to join us live Sunday mornings at 9:09 or 11:11. Thanks again for listening to the Lighthouse Community Podcast.